A couple of months ago, I was knocking around on the internet, and I came across a site, MDConCon 2010, which was about the possibility of a constitutional convention in Maryland this year. And apparently, it's on the ballot every 20 years. I did not know that, and this was one of those years. So I was checking out the history of on this website and what have you, and I started noticing that word was percolating through the General Assembly, the politicians, and the media, and they did not like this, which is good for us, as far as I'm concerned. All the better. Daniel McAndrew is an engineer. He lives in Forest Hill, and he is the author of that website. I will say this. Daniel is planning on running. You're still running?
There's no planning. I am.
Okay. He's running for Congress this year as a Republican. I have had a long-standing policy not to have candidates from the establishment parties speak at our convention. However, I did make an exception in this because I think this is a very important issue. He knows about it as much as anybody that I'm aware of in the state, and he agreed not to, you know, promote his candidacy. And when it comes to to questions, I would ask you to also respect his decision to run as a Republican and not badger him, you know, why he would want to run as a Republican. So, with that said, please welcome Daniel McAndrew.
Thank you. I made a promise, and I intend to keep it. Very much. Doesn't matter. Can you hear me good enough? How about that?
That's good.
Okay. Let's see what we can do. To buttress what Bob's telling you, I came across this. I moved to Maryland in 1974. I've been here ever since. And the first time I saw this was on the ballot in 1990, 20 years ago. And it occurred to me, even then, that question has a lot to do to try and get the average public to give them the means and the tool for affecting the Maryland State Constitution. Trouble is, with the duration that it is, 20 years, you can't possibly remember the ins and outs and why this is the way it is. Not every state has such a question or anything built into the state constitution to provide for this kind of impact. Now, before I get too far along into this, even though I'm going to be reading from some of the material I brought, there's copies of this on that back window back there that you can take for yourself. Some of it's directed from the website. Some of it is from references pointed to on the website. Plus the fact you've got business cards that give you the address, and it's in and of itself. To give you a brief history of how this came about, besides my interest of it 20 years ago, between then to now, probably around 4 or 5 years ago, you may know this, there was a website that started up called O'MalleyWatch.com. And I partook in it, and over time, being a regular person to inject some questions on there, this issue came up. Naturally, I was the one to bring it up. But over the course of the conversations, some of us were starting to interplay, and we actually got together 4 or 5 years ago to talk about it some more, see what it could do for the public here in Maryland. And as a consequence of that get-together, I took the initiative to make the first website for this. That URL I don't use too much right now, but it still exists. So you can use one of two to get to this. The first one was called mdconvention.org. That cost money, a fair amount of money originally. And then I consequently found out that this next website, that I turned it into a blog instead of a static website, the blog was a heck of a lot cheaper, so I moved all that material over to WordPress, kept the original URL, so whichever one you use, whatever one you're familiar with, it's going to bring you to this one. So, having said all that, what this handout includes is that, number one, the intent of this particular site, of this information, is just to wake you up. It's to wake up the public of Maryland. That's hence the reason for the site, to try and get people to, and I know people are hitting it because of what I can look at nightly to see how many have hit it during the day. That's the only purpose. There's no politicking on that site. One way, shape, or form or the other, regardless of party, I don't care. It doesn't matter. The point is you've got to have at least a modicum of interest in it and to see what it can do for you. Now, what it can do for you depends upon your strength of will. Further in here, you'll find out that of the 50 states of the United States, only 18 actually have in their constitutions, by some mechanism, whether it was there originally or it came about as a consequence of their efforts, 18 states in the country have a recall provision for pulling back and taking somebody out of office who's done something they shouldn't have done. And I think the last one that we know of to any great degree of publicity was Governor Gray in California. Hence, Arnold Schwarzenegger got in as a consequence of that. Now, we all know what's going on there, pretty much. But, like I say, that was one of 18 states. We do not have that provision in Maryland. From what I've been studying about the Maryland Constitutional Convention, this mechanism which exists in our Constitution, the last sheet in this handout actually shows you the exact wording. This state can't avoid it. It's been there quite a while. They have to do this. What happens is, this one question is going to show up on the ballot every 20 years. This is the year it's going to show up on the general ballot November 2nd. And what that's going to say is one of two things. It wants a yes or no answer from you. Yes, I want such a convention. No, I do not. 1990, I remember reading the Baltimore Sun paper saying, we don't need it. We're against it. Yeah, that's it. You'll hear the same thing from Michael Miller, Michael Bush, you know, all the others that are down in the GA, the General Assembly. A majority of them like the idea of the fact that since it's every 20 years, you're going to forget. It's not going to mean anything to you. It's not going to mean anything to somebody like me who does pay attention. They're wrong. Hence why I'm here. Now, the problem with that longevity is, yeah, we have things to do. We work during the day. We go home at night. We don't think about 10, 20 years down the road. But then again, that's why this website exists. Some time ago, probably about 2-3 years ago, some of us who had banded together from O'Malley Watch brought this together. We bandied about ourselves. We actually went down to Annapolis, and we managed to speak and connect with Dan Friedman at the time. Dan Friedman, I believe, if I've got this right, he's their constitutional lawyer for the General Assembly. Within the past month, 2 months, Michael Miller, I believe, I think it was Mike Miller, was told by Dan Friedman, cannot avoid putting this question on the ballot. It simply must be done. It's in the state constitution. They're probably going to try and change the wording a bit from what it was. In 1990, the question, here's how that read in the paper. Constitutional question, Maryland Constitutional Convention. Should a constitutional convention be called for the purpose of altering the state constitution or framing a new constitution? Now, for those of us that are familiar with how these kinds of documents are written, developed, nothing goes away. You can see things that have been there, even if they are superseded by some new action, some new amendment, because the mechanism for actually writing such a document, if you're familiar with Microsoft Word, you're going to have a strike through for the portions of text for a constitution or amendment that is going to be done away with in favor of the thing that's going to replace it. So you could see the history of how this Constitution developed, what's current, what it was, and you could see the thought processes, probably, how this Constitution came about to what it is today. So there's no fear of losing what the Constitution was and what the Constitution is about to be or being worked on. The interesting part is, if you are familiar with the Maryland State Constitution as it is right now, there's portions in there you wonder how the heck it got in there. Why does it affect all of Maryland? I mean, there's an issue having to do with parking in Baltimore City that is in the Maryland State Constitution. Who in God's green earth or Ocean City is going to care about that? I know I don't. I live in Harford County. But be that as it may, things get in there that not everybody is familiar with. Now, let me at least explain how I see such a possibility of how this convention could work. Again, the website's going to answer some of that for you. Some of the handouts are going to answer that for you. The basic understanding is a majority of the voters checking yes on this question. If that happens to be the case, then the next session for the General Assembly, meaning in January, end of January, whatever time that is, in 2011, the General Assembly will have to start work on bringing the convention into fruition, into existence. If that's the case, what's the makeup of the convention? The makeup of the convention has to have an equivalent number of delegates within it that makes up the current count of the delegates and representatives in the General Assembly. So it's one for one. However many representatives we got down in the General Assembly, we have to have the same number of representatives in this convention. Who can be the delegate in there? And it could be anyone. It could be any citizen. It could be members of the General Assembly. Ergo, that's part of the danger, if you look at it that way. Meaning, okay, if we decide to have a convention, we want to add a recall provision in here. Or we want to add other issues having to do in there. Initiative for referendum. Making English a primary language. Having to do with abortion. Having to do with anything else that comes to mind. In fact, since we're here, regardless of my persuasion, you could actually bring about the need to include the Libertarian Party in the primary. Maybe you have to have that stated in the Constitution for Maryland. Right now, we all know that it's strictly a two-party state. Well, one. Well, I say let's split the winnings. Go ahead.
Dan, I guess I should just, I understand what you're trying to get, but you list the issues that I guess you are in favor of, because I can see the double edged sword. So we get something other that may be very detrimental to most people. I mean, say some pros like women can't vote to stay in Maryland. I mean, I think, you know, people may vote for that, you know. And all of a sudden, you know.
I've run into this.
You know, or say, let's say we said, bring back prohibition. You know, we don't think it's real funny. Let's make prohibition constitution. You never know if it's.
I won't deny the fact that, yes, we could be opening a box, a Pandora's box, a box of worms, whatever you wish to call it, because not everybody agrees with everybody else 100%. You've got factions, you've got individuals, you say, this is the way I see it, that's it. This is a big issue. I mean, this is really a big issue. But where I'm coming from, in order to try your best to make some positive change to the Maryland Constitution that would benefit the people of this state, you've got to have the will and the strength, the fortitude, and the ambition to try and make that happen. If you're just going to answer yes to that question and that's it, then you're basically leaving it up to chance. If you're going to answer yes to the question, you may want to consider the fact to become more involved with the issue and actually seek out and try to become a delegate for such a convention. Lorenzo.
Just to clarify a point, we've met before. You've been on the road, you've got a sign on the back of this truck signal tonight. Anyway, just to clarify a point, I think that most libertarians would rather see the primary end so that no taxpayer money is used to support certain political parties, and let them select people the way we select it by convention.
Okay.
That's what I would like to see.
I'm fine with that. Bob?
Is the death row veto, is that in the Constitution? Is that something that can be attacked?
Probably. But again, what we need to consider with all of this is the current state of politics down at the General Assembly, because we know how they like to fight to keep things the way they are.
Right.
They're not for this.
Well,
if they knew I was here discussing this with you, and they probably do, they wouldn't be.
On a secondary issue, if I may, there are plenty of Democrats. The people in this area are all Democrats. Sonny Minnick, Norman Stone, Mike Ware, Dan Riley in Harper County, they're all pro-gun. And the gun issue was always stymied by Brian Frosch and Michael Bush because of the death drawer veto. I would think there'd be enough there are plenty of Democrats on board, along with Republicans, Libertarians, and others, where we could get a pro-gun concealed carry thing shoved through just because of the will of the people using the constitutional.
And there are efforts along that line. I know a couple people on Maryland Shall Issue. This website points to them. They've seen that. I received some of their emails. I cloned some of those emails, stick it right in the website, because I'm evidently for the Second Amendment as we see it, as SCOTUS has applied it for the Heller decision. I'm eagerly waiting to see what's going to happen with their Chicago ruling, and I understand that we may hear that probably around the June time frame. Basically, I'm just pro-constitution. The heck with that. I mean, they really, the bulk of politicians these days, I've heard a video where someone was asking Nancy Pelosi about what gives her the authority, or the Congress the authority, to levy us to have to pay for insurance, and she turned to him and said, "Are you serious?" And all I could think of was, you took an oath. You're abrogating that oath directly in our faces by telling us you don't give a damn about the Constitution. Well, he says, wouldn't every one of us probably feel the opposite?
My understanding is that the Constitutional Convention would have an open space wherever it wanted to. In fact, the last Constitutional Convention is Collier in Maryland, was, I believe, in 1957. And that Constitution was defeated in the next election. But the whole system can be redone, whatever, because there's no particular set of regulations or whatever that it discusses. It's just whatever it wants to do. So it could conceivably address a lot of the issues that you all are talking about, and maybe come up with some kind of a compromise language on what's going on, and just some of the stupid stuff like the slots and the parking in Baltimore City and so forth and so on out.
Well, there's a lot of merit to what you have to say. And just like you pointed out, in the last constitutional convention that was held in Maryland was 67-68. In every instance when Maryland tried to have one, 1776, 1851, 1864, 1867, and those years, 67-68, they always questioned the legality of the convention. Always. And there's a portion of Dan Friedman's book which explains some of this, to give you some of that history. Right now, the last time, in fact, those years, and here's the interesting part, and I'm really glad you brought that up, because I wanted to mention this for your benefit anyway. These challenges, they focus on the language of what's written in the Constitution. They can fine-tune this to actually get to the degree that you can't argue the logic, almost. And here's how that went down. The sense of the people was taken in 1966, 4 years too early, according to their first argument. Court of Appeals of Maryland made clear that the people of Maryland retain, quote, the right to alter, reform, or abolish their form of government in such manner as they deem expedient, unquote, and thus may call for a convention whenever we choose. Now, that was then. This is now. But again, there was some other aspect. Okay. Both in 1930 and 50, the General Assembly declined to call the convention because they said the definition of a majority was so slim. The people who actually answered the question, the quantity of those people, those voters, was a subset of the people that were voting in general. And according to them, it requires the supporters of a convention must form a majority of all people who voted at the general election on any issue or for any candidate. Now, I take that to mean, like, a lot of folks go in, they're single-issue voters. They don't really fill out a whole ballot. You go in, you vote for someone you like, ignore the rest. So a large part of the time, the ballots go unfinished. I've seen it firsthand because I was an election judge since 2000 to present. At least in the district that I worked, we didn't have much problems with that. The first time we had the OCR machines, and even the OCR machine would spit it back out and tell you, yeah, you're not done. I won't take it by default because it's unfinished. There's things unanswered. But you could force it. Just press a button and it'll go through. But the electronic machines that have been in place since, which we're not going to use, again, we're going to go back to the draw the line. The electronic machines, you could do the same thing, but they didn't kick anything back. They just accepted it, the fact that you just check off 1 out of 10 things. What this argument is saying is it's not the majority of the people who voted for or against the question in and of itself. Let's say 1,500 people come to vote for this precinct. 10 people decide to answer that question. According to this discussion back in the 30s and the 50s, they're going to throw that out saying there's not enough people that were a majority to say they were for a convention. Maybe that's right, maybe that's wrong. I am not a lawyer. I am not anywhere close to being in the legalese in that fashion. But it's important to understand that little bit to find out if, let's just say, everybody in this room decides having a convention is a good idea, then the thing you take from this is it's important to complete your whole ballot. Mark everything appropriately. Don't leave anything unanswered. And you may want to convince your friends, brothers, and in-laws, which I call the FBI, to do the exact same thing. Otherwise, this 20-year question becomes moot. Next 20 years from now, somebody's going to have this same discussion, and the same thing's going to happen. It just isn't going to happen.
It seems to me that this kind of a proposal would be a real wake-up call for people of Maryland if they saw it as such.
Yeah.
You might create a maelstrom and reform that could conceivably change everything that exists now. I think in order to do that, you're going to need to be at the forefront of it, and you're going to have to along the way, always in November. I mean, you have to let people be aware of this.
Right.
What have you done to do that?
Actually, I'm very glad you brought that up. I was going to do this anyway. Bob and I had a similar discussion. When Bob first contacted me, he contacted me through the website. Up until now, I've been very controlled about keeping my anonymity behind the scenes of managing, adding, upgrading, putting material on this website. The only stuff that I try to put on this website has to do with everybody in Maryland. Okay? Whether you're for guns, whether you're against guns, whether you're for recall, whether you're against it. I mean, if it's an issue that can bother the whole state, okay, it goes there. Anything that's smaller in venue, let somebody else worry about that. So up until now, I've been anonymous. Today I'm coming out. And probably over the weekend, maybe Sunday or so, I intend to be putting my name against it and making sure that people understand that this is important. It's no longer just a nom de plume behind a website. This is a bona fide actual person involved. They're going to, like Bob pointed out, when you go to the polls, you're going to see my name on a ballot. What you do with that choice is entirely up to you. I'm not beyond that. I'm not going to say anything. So yeah, I am going to at least take away that anonymity and put a face to it, then point back to my own site, and we'll see what happens. Because I do believe that's right.
Yeah, I have two problems with what you're trying to do: one on principle and one in practice. The problem in principle has already been raised, that you're opening up a can of worms. And I'll give a more realistic possible backfire than women losing the vote. You said that Maryland, said that there are only 18 state constitutions that allow for a recall. There are only three that allow for jury nullification, specifically allow for jury nullification.
Right.
Maryland is one of them. I know the legal profession is very much against this, and there's been a lot of propagandizing against it, very powerful propagandizing, I might say. And if there were a constitutional convention, I would expect that they would bring up this subject and attempt to remove that clause from Maryland's constitution. And I think that would be a disaster.
Mm-hmm.
I also have an objection, though, in practice. If you really want to introduce a recall, it seems to me you don't bring it up at the tail end of the 20-year period. You bring it up at the beginning of the 20-year period. I would recommend you wait until this window is ended, and you immediately begin a campaign to try to introduce recall by other means. And over the 20 and over the period, the next 20 years, as you're trying to get recall through, you increasingly beat the drum for the fact that if we don't get recall, we will ask for a constitutional convention. And knowing how much the legislators, even more than I perhaps, are afraid of a constitutional convention, that would add to the force of trying to get a recall in there.
Well, let me answer that this way. I don't discount what you're saying at all. However, the problem with that approach is that you've got a 20-year time frame, which is considerable. And a lot of people aren't going to remember this 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 years down the road. Before I get there, I will complete what I was going to say about how this convention should work. Once a convention comes together and you have an equivalent number of delegates in there, and they craft whatever legislation or bills, what have you, the only people that are going to vote on that is the public of Maryland. It is not going to be the members of that convention. What comes out of that convention gets put on the ballot for everybody who votes to come in and make their selection. Do I want this or do I not? That's going to be the end game for this. So the past conventions, even though some were held, some were not, some were denied, blah, 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 it's still going to come down to the voters whether such a thing is going to get instituted or not. It's not going to be up at the hands of the people running the convention. They may have the ability to craft what they want if you don't offer your opinion and offer your injections into this thing. But what comes out of it, you can just as easily turn it down if it doesn't meet your standards.
I mean, hey, Dean, the founding fathers went all in with the people. Why can't we? I mean, what's the problem?
Right.
I mean, that's what it is. It is what it is. You go with them or you don't. Do you believe that people have a good judgment or you don't? I say go for it, man. That's the
And let me at least say one more thing. I am not suggesting that you vote yes. I am not suggesting that you vote no. I am only here to try and educate you what this is, what's coming. It's going to be up to you to make up your mind whether you're going to vote yes or no. Lorenzo?
I think what Dean is concerned about is the fact that our state government is so manipulative and in such a good position to manipulate whatever they want with a largely a state media that largely supports and promotes their manipulation, that they could really manipulate whatever evil thing they want to do next and use the constitutional convention for that. And I think that's what he's concerned about, and I think that's my concern too.
And they could. Yes, they could. I won't deny that either. I go along with that possibility. But again, what it boils down to is no matter what they do, whatever comes out of the convention, you and I vote on it. No one else. The GA doesn't vote on this. And the conventioners, the delegates, they don't vote on this. What comes out of this, we vote on. And that's not expressly said word for word in these things, but it actually is.
All right, Daniel, well enough. But the point, I think point is, you know, when in 08, when at the polls, there were people waiting to vote for president who didn't know there was a congressional election going on as well. How are folks that are being manipulated going to vote? You and I might vote.
Mm.
You know, and again, your question about trusting the people is a fair question.
Well, it's a fair question. Convention they're voting on. Never in the history of the state has it happened. It's going to be like major news.
If, oh, yeah.
You know, you talk about the major media, the main media. They're history. The internet is what the news is.
We need to clarify something, because I don't think it's just on the Constitutional Convention they're voting on. I understood you to say that the proposal of the Constitutional Convention would be voted on.
Yes.
And would it be voted on as a line item, line by line, or would it be just up or down for the whole thing?
It's an up or down question to be voted on the November ballot.
We're getting one popular
vote and
everybody
voted for it. An open process convention is a danger? Where's your faith, man?
Mr. Jacobs?
Voted up or down on a package that may have a very popular item in it.
Where's your faith in the people?
Okay.
I don't have that much faith. Okay. The one we voted 97% against you, Tom. I don't have no faith in them.
Mr. Jacobs?
I don't blame them. No, I don't vote against me. Yeah.
Well, then why
did you run? Let's hear from somebody. Hey,
come on, Tom.
Let's hear from somebody else here.
Various amendments for a brand new constitution either way.
The power.
That's right.
Yeah. Well,
so
the carte blanche power.
I would want to send out individual amendments more than a brand new constitution.
Oh yes, absolutely. It doesn't have to be a brand new constitution. It could only be one, several amendments. It doesn't matter in that regard. It can happen either way. It could be a collection of some of that that eventually gets whittled down during the course of the convention as to what they finally come up with, because once they settle on something, that has to come out, put on the ballot for us to vote on.
What is the time frame of that they would have to do this convention? Whoever gets elected to be part of this convention?
Well, again, the answer to that is, if there's a majority that answer yes to this question November 2nd, and if that holds up, then January of 2011, the GA must start the process for bringing together the convention, where it's going to be held.
It'll be 5 years from that.
That is a tough one to call. There's nothing in the Constitution that says it has to happen within a specific time frame. There's no words to that effect. Okay? But the fact is, they can't avoid it.
The common sense says it can't be more than 20 years.
Right? 19 and a half.
Yes.
Good question,
sir. One, yes, the Article 23 does talk about jury nullification, but a good friend of mine and many in here, Bruce Godfrey, has basically, when I presented him with questions going on the jury, said the courts have watered that down so badly that if you try to do a jury nullification and the prosecution decides to go after you, it's tampering with jury tampering and that kind of stuff. And so you basically have a lovely sentiment in the article in the Bills of Rights, but you have nothing to back it up. And then the other question is, if the Constitution that is presented, is it a majority vote or a supermajority vote to pass it by the public?
That is actually not defined. It should be just a regular majority vote. Yeah, exactly right.
Is there any values of who voted to be delegates?
I'm sorry?
You said the delegates will be at the convention. Any guidance for who they pick themselves?
No. Yeah, they could pick themselves, but the thing is, if you don't want it that way, then you have to take an initiative to present yourself or nominate someone. there is no defined process in the Constitution to say how that could be done. But I don't see any reason why you couldn't go down to Annapolis once this begins, should it begin, and put forth your name, put forth somebody you know, what have you. I'm sorry? Yeah. Let's try the gentleman there.
One thing in the conversation about the detail, there's a lot more, some that you said, some that you haven't said. There are requirements, for example, if it's just an amendment, if here is a line item with only a single subject, all sorts of things to get into. Basically, they're designed to restrict or constrain the changes that would happen to the Constitution. What you have currently is the only way that a constitutional amendment can appear on the ballot is if a requisite percentage of both houses approve of the constitutional amendment and then it appears on the ballot. Chances are a similar requirement will be in place for delegates at the convention, so you have to explore it. But if we continue to go down this trail, all we'll do is banter back and forth. So I think is more the opening here. Is in Maryland right now, the odds of ever seeing term limits or the change in ballot access or a true balanced budget or just go on and on are slim and none under the current process. And while it may be taking the risk to trust the people who live in the state, we don't have much of another opening here. And what this does is present an opening that's in front of us now at a time when the people are more aware, more concerned, more involved in the process than I've ever seen in my lifetime. And by the gray hairs, it's been a while. So I see this as a historic opening at a historic time, and that I encourage us to look at the possibility of what can happen rather than the fear of what might happen.
Okay, one more question, please, and we have to wrap up if anybody has one. Actually, if I may, I would like to reiterate what Paul Jacobs said. I was a guest at the LPVA convention last week. And when Paul spoke, somebody had asked him, he said, "Do you trust the people?" And he said, "No. And I trust politicians even less." And I think that applies to this as much as anything else. I thought it was a brilliant quote. And I really liked it. So that's my two cents. Let's give a big hand for Daniel McCain.
I will. Sure.